טוב, we're talking about הלכות של בן אדם לחברו. The book of Rav Fuchs. Fuchs, שליטה. So we're talking about people live in the same building, certain obligations that they have regarding their neighbors. שכנים הגרים בבית משותף. Neighbors which are living in the same, and like in the building together. מחובתם של כל בעלי הדירות, it's the obligation of all people who own the apartments to do everything which is needed to make whatever, to make it run. For example, if there's a problem in the pipe, right, there's a water pipe that brings water to the building, all the people who own the apartments are obligated to pay it, not only the Vaz Bayit, right? He's not obligated at all, he's obligated just like everyone else. Okay?
Well, it depends. I know there's a difference. It depends where the pipe is, which section.
I said, if it's a it's
the main pipe, then main pipe which everybody has to get
exactly.
In. But sometimes there's a dispute, like, well, our branch is already off. You know, there's like the main pipe, and then there's like this entrance has this, and this has this, and this has this.
It also depends where it happens.
And then they said, some people say, well, it's the main pipe, so everybody has to pay. But some people say, no, it's only past my section, so I don't have to pay for it.
Right now they have water? If they have water, so...
But then it ends up everybody, but where it's broken, everybody has to pay for it, because it's the main, it goes up to the main, to the individual things. So then that, or every, there's one...
Until the individual, everyone has to pay. Once it has to do with an individual, then the individual has to pay. Before the meter of the building, the Iriya has the Iriya or the company, the water company is responsible for that. That's how it works. Okay? Or cleaning. Everyone has to pay for the cleaning. Don't remind me. I owe him a lot of money. Okay? We're obligated to pay.
And heat. Central heat.
If there's central heat. Now, if there's something... Oh, here he says this. Now, if there is something which is not an ordinary thing, and some of the people want it, some of the people don't want it. For example, an elevator, right? For example, an elevator. Some people want. I know buildings that like that. That some people want it, some people didn't want. So whoever wants gets a key, and he pays every month.
But when they put it in, everyone who's affected has to. Everyone in the building has a sign giving permission that they put it in.
So that's a different issue. They don't also over three stories, they don't have permission from anyone. There's a new law already for a few years. Yeah. Over three stories, it's a chok that if the neighbors want, they could force also the... Mm-hmm. And everyone has to pay for the installing unless they don't want to use it. You don't want to use it?
That same law I heard, that if the contractor puts in the elevator and it's over three stories, that he gets access to the roof?
Access to?
To the use of the roof as the contractor wanted to put the elevator in?
I never heard.
Somebody told us.
Maybe, I never heard such a thing.
Neither did I, but I thought it was.
Later. Ken? Or now they want to put up a railing to mm-hmm. hold on when you're going up. Mm-hmm. You don't have to. You can walk up without. Ken? Mm-hmm. So, a lot of times you make a meeting with all the neighbors. And you decide. Ken? I know my Bubby's building, he didn't have it for 45 years, 50 years they didn't have it. And people got older, they needed it, so now they put it in.
Mm-hmm. Our Maka, the stairwell.
That's what I meant.
No, but I mean, like there's a...
No, that's a chuba.
No, there is one that... They want to raise it.
At the beginning? That's what depends if it's dangerous.
Well, if the city or whoever updates the building codes, so the building has to be changed in any way.
Everyone's
obligated. Responsible.
Obviously, mm-hmm. yeah. Okay. Now, Also, if there's a garden, it's just for beauty. Still, everyone has to pay for their garden. You can't say, no, I don't care for it. No, the whole building cares for this. There's a special area in the building, outside the building, which is belongs to the building, and it's for gardening. So anyone, if you move into that building, you know that you're paying also for that. Okay. Now, the Vaad Bayit, or the person responsible of hiring the cleaners or whatever, yeah? The gardener has to find, he's responsible to find someone whose price is reasonable that everyone can pay. Okay? Not just to say, oh, since it's fine, I'll just get anyone. No?
And then you have to collect the money from the neighbors.
That's the hard part.
That's the hard part.
Yeah, I know.
You know, sometimes the neighbors decide to, that a certain family in there will do, or the kids of some family, or,
I know, I saw a building in Mea Shearim. Near Mea Shearim, I was walked in there one night. I was doing a building to the street. Right? Walked in the building and I saw a sign. Each week, which family is responsible for cleaning? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't pay that much.
It's
a lot less. Mm-hmm.
Right. I've been blood bike for the past 3 years. I always like.
What if you growing vegetables?
What?
What if instead of flowers growing, what if it's vegetables?
Who's growing vegetables? The gardener?
Yeah, no, whoever lives in that building. What if one or two guys want to grow vegetables there? It's a common piece of land. Do they have to share it?
They have to ask permission from the
Zay
council.
Everyone else.
Well, they're doing all the work also, so then...
No, still they're allowed to use that piece of land.
No, I'm saying if they have issues.
If they have issues,
or people don't really care.
Right, it's just a place where they don't do gardening.
Nobody does anything with it.
They can do whatever they want. Still have to ask permission. Okay. Usually people won't care. Yeah.
They don't care anyway, so what are they caring about? That's their... evil
eye. We learned this halacha also. Now, if you live in a building, and some of the people are religious, some people are not, and there's gardening going on, and it's Shemitah year. You're paying now for gardening in Shemitah, for a Jew doing gardening in Shemitah is a problem. Okay? What? No, you can't rip the garden out. But you have to try to convince them, and if they don't, you know it's not going to work anyways. So then, you take three people, right? And he tells in front of them, my part of the gina, I'm making hefker. And then you go to the Vaad Bayit, and if you didn't do it, you do it. Then you go to Vaad Bayit, and you say, what I pay, I'm not paying for the gardening. You pay the amount they say. I'm not paying for the gardening, I'm paying for the electricity, my money's going to the electricity. No, I still to do gardening. I'm
some gardening is allowed. There are certain things.
Yeah. When
the
gardener,
things
like. Is
the person he
knows
about Schmidt?
The what?
When the gardener knows about Schmidt?
When he knows about
Schmidt? Can he pay?
Of course.
He's giving a lot.
That's what he was saying. Yeah.
But if they're simply sweeping up the leaves.
Talking about things which. We don't have to say that we're talking about things which are asul to do in Schmidt. That's what I'm talking about. It's obvious. I think that you're allowed to do in Shemitah. Okay. Now, if in a certain milpeset, right, there's a ken tzaraot, a wasp.
Wasps.
Nest, right?
Wasps.
Beehive, the wasp,
right?
Yellow jackets. Yeah. So then, even though it belongs to certain people, and now they want to hire someone to go and clean it up and do everything, everyone has to pay for it because everyone's suffering from it. If only that person who lives there is suffering from it, you can deal with it alone. But if everyone, the whole building, they go down and they bother the kids or whatever, and it bothers everyone, so the whole building is responsible for paying someone who does it.
Also with birds.
Same thing with birds, exactly.
Dirting up the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, if there's a certain guy in the building which loves birds so much, and he makes sure to feed them every day, and therefore it dirties up the whole place, they could take him to Beis Din and make him pay for cleaning up and not to do it anymore. There are some people like that.
What about
neighbors? Or cats? Cats, dogs.
Bothers the neighbors, yeah.
What about neighbors whose children are the ones that do most of the dirtying of the entrance of the building?
Ah, let's see.
And we have a big problem with that, where that's one person wants to take care of the cats and the others don't.
That's a sip and toe. Of a good ball.
So they have a porch over the end of the building, and every day they just throw the trash and go out.
No, obviously, if they do it, Mamash be a dying, you're the parents.
Mother Sincere doesn't do anything.
The little kids, so each has to put up a, has to be talked into putting up a little
screen. A screen, because I
can't. Yeah.
It says in the Gemara, what about, you know, you want to raise a dog? You want to raise a dog in your house? It says in the Gemara that you're not allowed to raise a bad dog in your house. What's a bad dog?
The Gemara
says, yeah, if an ani won't be able to knock on the door, right, because he's scared of the dog, so that's called a kelevra. If a pregnant lady can walk by and lose her baby because the dog frightened her, and the Gemara says a story, right? On Shabbos. Remember we looked at it? Not Shabbos, Mitzia. Remember Mitzia. Okay? So then that's a bad dog. When are you allowed to have a dog in the house? It's a dog who, for blind people. Okay? Mm-hmm. Protection. Or if it's not for blind people, sometimes they have a certain kid who that's part of the tipu that he needs. He has to have a pet. Right? So fine, it's for medical, okay? For mental, medical reasons.
But normally in those two cases, the blind and the service dogs, they've been properly trained, and it's very hard for any dog to be a, quote, candidate. It's incredibly difficult training program.
And even if you have a regular dog, it has to be muzzled up and chained, not let him roam around. Okay? So...
Rav Eliyahu, Zechus of the Kodesh Mecha, gave a psak. You can only raise a dog, aside from the dog for blind, if you're living in a place where it's dangerous and the dog, you need a dog for protection, for patrolling and protection, and he has to be in an enclosed section of the garden, not wandering around free the neighborhood or the street or whatever.
Can't.
It has to be a type of dog that is known to be capable of being a protected animal.
I'd love to have a Rottweiler loose near our building.
Now he talks about a tikkun saneret mayim, what we spoke about before, fixing the water pipes of the building. If there's a tzino mayim, there's a water pipe of one of the people in the building, it belongs to him, right? And now it bursts. And the water is going through the walls to the neighbors downstairs. Like I had in my apartment in Tzfat, like that. Yeah? The person, two places. And it went and it did damage to the neighbor downstairs. Okay?
It'll damage the ceiling and the walls and anything underneath.
Mm-hmm. It's a major meter. If it's before the private meter, like we said, and it's, even though it's by someone's apartment, doesn't mean it's his. It belongs to everyone in the building. Everyone is responsible to fix it equally. But it depends, I'm talking about where it bursts. If it bursts before the private meter, everyone in the building is responsible fixing it, has to pay for it. And if it bursts after the private meter, so the person who it is responsible to fix it. Mm-hmm. We had the problem with I have an apartment in Spot together with someone. It's like it's a building with two floors. The bottom floor and top floor. I'm on top. I own the one on top, and this lady owns the one on bottom. And they had a problem with the tzaneret and the pipes of the building together. We both own it, so we both paid for it. And when it was in my own apartment, so I paid for it a lot.
Who pays for the damage to the apartment below?
It's Grama Ben Azakim. She has to pay for it. Patu. Patu. You could do. I asked Rav Ozna. Rav Akiva Ozna.
Or you can go to the insurance.
I went to insurance. Of course.
Isn't the owner responsible because you're renting?
If you're renting, yes. Unless you're the one who caused the damage.
How do you decide that?
You see how you used it. If you put in your children or you put into the asla, into the toilet bowl, magvonim, wipes all the time, and that's what caused the problem, so you did the damage. And if not, stop it up.
It says that you can put
them
in
there.
It says in the package, you know,
flushable. Depends if it's flushable for the
magvonim?
For the
lady
piping.
Depends where, exactly.
And how much the juice is, how
Yeah, powerful the water is, everything, yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't put magvonim in the it causes problems. Here, one there, but if you do it all the time, it causes damage.
Blocking.
Yeah. And you can cause
major
also pitzuts. You can cause a burst of a pipe also. Yeah, like we said, so if there's damages that happen to the neighbor because your pipe burst and you fixed it as soon as you can, so you're part of from fixing your neighbor's walls.
The damage.
Why? Because it's called grama. You didn't do it. It happened. So you fixed it. It's called grama and the zakim, you're part of. But Rav Akiva Vaza told me that if it's not religious people and they don't understand this term, it's good if you can fix it for them. Just for Shalom Bayis in the building. But
so
you don't have to.
It shouldn't be a Chil Hashem.
Chil Hashem, yeah, and Shalom Bayis.
You have to be watch out for also that sometimes they know, even according to the civil law, that they still try to get it out of you. That's can be as well. It depends on who you're dealing with, the type of people you're dealing with. When it comes to money, people sometimes figure it out to do things in their favor much more than it. I've seen such things like that.
There's a thing called, I don't know if you say it, Talat Nikuz. Talat Nikuz, it gets the water from the rain and it turns it out.
Yeah, water spot.
Yeah. So that, if it's blocked, and you're renting, you have to pay for the opening, not the balabait.
Your water comes out.
Yeah. You have to bring someone to clean it, right? Unless you know how to do it by yourself. You bring a guy who cleans it, and you're renting, you have to pay for it. The renter, why? Because the barabai is not benefiting from this. You're benefiting, you're living there. So you have to pay for it. If it broke, then the owner of the house is responsible to fix it. But if it's just blocked, and you're bringing someone to fix it, you're responsible to fix it, not the owner of the house.
That's why, like, we had by our neighbors, they built on, and they closed off the old one.
No, but Tedros, obviously they're responsible.
And they left an opening on the new building, but the way it was built, the water couldn't get to it. So we ended up like a
drowning
on the roof on top of us. It knocked out the electricity part of the house.
Wow. Obviously they're responsible.
Book of Shem, the winter went over, but I had taken the base in, and they finally brought in the guy to make the roof on the way that the water would spill off.
If people, when they wash the floor, their floors are not atum, they're not blocked for water, and when they wash the floor like Malkaim do with a lot of water, it goes to the neighbors. Ken? Water goes through
ceiling clean.
Can so then, in that situation, a person is responsible. The people living on top are responsible. Either they should not wash with a lot of water, just mop like the Americans do. In America, it's wood, so you don't put a lot of water, right? A lot of places in there, they do is just mop the floors. Or buy. You could go hire someone to. You could put the special chomel there. to make it to seal the floors.
We have that in our bathroom.
It's a special chemical that seals the floors.
Seals the floors?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just did with
what do they have these like sinewers that
what are they?
Like a pipe.
Yeah.
And they put the water in the pipe and the pipe goes the water comes out the pipe, gives the other person that's air.
And that's something else.
Let's see in a second.
And they want to get rid of the water. They put it through the pipe.
Okay. Now we're talking about floors. If they wash their floors and water comes through the ceiling.
Yeah. Oh, through the ceiling.
Yeah. So then they're responsible to make sure the water doesn't go through the ceiling.
People who wash it.
Yeah. Yeah. So then?
We said that just by silicone. And the cracks in the bathroom.
Yeah, there's a way to do it. We keep so.
What if one person give a machlokas?
What is he?
Give a machlokas. So one person is holding by halacha, and then the person says civil attorney. What? You just like let it play out.
What's civil attorney?
You know, like that's
what you're called. They're based at the Medina. Hilchas Medina. And the whole thing that.
Oh, if there's a dispute between what the Torah says and what the halacha says?
Yeah. Right.
No one. A mishpacha chalvat says.
So different.
Rabbi Yashiv what's
in the record?
I'll
tell you what. And a lot of these laws are laws according to what the city says, and not according to what the Torah tells you what the city says, and that's the law. If there's a dispute between what the city holds, what the halacha says, let's say the halacha says you're chayav, and the city says you're pato, then you go to a beis din. And if they don't want to go to beis din, so like the law, the halacha is that you could go to beis din and tell them this person does not want to come to beis din, give me permission to sue him in a regular court, and then let's take it regular.
No, he's saying this is a machloikas. It's a machloikas. Who is it?
So then, yes, you go to Beis Din. Beis Din, well, you can't go to a regular civil court if the Beis Din doesn't permit you. You have to go to Beis Din, it'll permit you to go to a civil court. Beis Din sees that he doesn't listen. He's not a person who can listen.
Beis Din doesn't have the koach to force the person to come.
Right. But they do have the koach to let you go.
And all the rest of it. So we're going under Goisha.
Have you ever seen where a person has influence with the Beis Din? So the only way for the other party to get justice is to go to court, civil court, because the other guy has undue influence with the Beis Din.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that before.
It shouldn't be that way, unfortunately, right. But I know there are a lot of cases like that. But you have that in civil courts as well.
It happens in America all the time on divorce, in civil divorce. I mean, obviously you go to Beis Din to get a get, but you can still go to a civil court to culminate your civil marriage. But I think that happens all the time, no?
It can. It happens here also.
Even if you were married in a kosher way with
right.
Uh-huh.
You still have to go to
You don't have to, but the people do.
You still do because you're not. Even though the Beis Din says that you get a get and you have a legal divorce by the Beis Din, you're still not legally divorced by the Medina.
No, the divorce is recognized. It's usually the financial situation. Mm-hmm. It's a whole ball of gum.
But even if, in the States, if you just have a ketubah and you've never been registered. With a marriage license, the county will still recognize your ketubah, even though you don't have a civil divorce.
What do you mean, though, Becky? I didn't understand. You went from the marriage to the baby?
You got married in America with just a ketubah.
Right.
No marriage license.
Correct.
Right. So there's no record of you being
so
married
by
civilly.
Exactly. Right. There's no record of you being married civilly.
Okay, now what happened?
So you get divorced with a ketubah.
Again.
And so the county, when you remarry, the county recognizes you if you apply for a marriage license. They recognize that
the get.
Uh-huh.
Why would they have to recognize? I don't understand. So you're getting remarried to get, and now you're going to go
a separate,
to the county
you're getting,
license?
You're getting remarried to another person.
Right. So,
instead of a civil divorce, they recognize the get.
Yeah, but you didn't have to disclose it to them that you were previously married.
Because there's a checkbox saying, you know, have you been previously married?
When we
by civilly or by
doesn't matter. So we hand in the get.
My wife and I had to get civilly married to make Aliyah. The Jewish agency would not accept the ketubah. They said we're just civil marriage. We didn't have one. We only had two. So we had to go get married.
How do your kids like that?
They came with us.
They were on him. This is family law, so counsel back in family law attorney.
Actually, my stepson and his wife, they just had a ketubah, and they never got the paperwork done for a civil marriage. And so they came here. They've been here for 2 years now, and they had to go through the Jerusalem Bishop to recognize the marriage before they could make Aliyah. Now they have their two dots of hood.
I know Moshe, all of his wife, Moshe Schwab, he's a Mashkiach in Gateshead, said when he went to get married, the big Schwab family, he was in New York, his brothers, Moshe, whatever, he was a Mashkiach in Gateshead. He said how he got married. He went to the civil court first in England, and they said, "No, give the ring already." You know, they did a civil, had to do a civil marriage. He says, "No, we don't need to give the ring. We don't do that." He didn't want to give her rings because maybe that would make the kedushin, and then he wouldn't have Adim and would all part. And the brachas, and so he didn't want to get officially married apart because of the Jewish law. In the civil law, you needed to get a marriage contract. But you didn't want to have the Jewish marriage. If you gave the ring, maybe she said, then you'd have a problem with the brachas and the things that they're doing in the chuppah later on. So,
I don't see it. So, בסדר, אבל יש לנו איתי שלום.